behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we always welcome your calls here during our programs. But today, I'm going to ask you to hold your calls if Pastor David Whitney shows up, because he's going to be talking about really one of the most important issues facing America today. Of course, most people would think that that might be the economy, or it might be what's going over in Iran or in Afghanistan or in Iraq. But really, the most important issue for every American listening to this program is an understanding of our Constitution and how we have people in Washington, D.C. who have a different worldview and hate our Constitution because they hate individual freedom, because they want to establish a feudal fascist society in what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. And so they have systematically changed our perception, our worldview. And they've convinced the American people over a period of 50 years or more that we are a democracy, that we are not a democracy. We were never meant to be a democracy. Our founding fathers feared democracy as much as they feared tyranny. And then, of course, they have convinced us that the Constitution really doesn't say what it really says. The Constitution was to be a restrictive covenant limiting the power of the federal government over the lives of the people. And as Thomas Jefferson said so well, "In matters of politics, speak not to me of confidence in men, but rather bind them down for mischief with the chains of the Constitution." And, of course, John Locke had said many years before, "That government governs the best that governs the least." And Thomas Jefferson knew that, and that's why when, although he did not write the Constitution, he was kept abreast of what was going on, and when he saw the final draft, he realized what a great idea this was, to limit the power of the federal government. Now, of course, then the Bill of Rights, what does the Bill of Rights say? The First Amendment says, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or abridging the free exercise thereof, nor of the right of the people to the freedom of the press and freedom of assembly." And you have to understand it was a limitation placed on Congress. There should be no laws passed against the right of the people to keep and bear arms. I mean, the right to certainly the sanctity of our homes, so that the people can't come into our homes and, you know, the government can't come into our homes. It was always illegal for, you know, criminals to come into our homes. But they did not want the government coming into our homes because the founders of these people believed that men were inherently evil, and if you couldn't, you could not trust them to govern. You had to limit the power of government, else it would become a tyranny. And all of these messages have been systematically forgotten because they've taken this message out of our schools. Well, of course, what the Institute of the Constitution and David Whitney, who's our guest, are trying to do is rekindle an understanding of what America was about. Because if you don't understand the source of your freedom, you're certainly not going to be able to maintain it. And with that, Pastor David Whitney, good to have you with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. It's a blessing to be on your show and to talk about these things that are so vitally important to preserving our freedom. And many people have the false notion that somehow our liberty that's secured by our founding documents and so on, that's sort of on an autopilot, that we just don't do anything. Maybe we show up at the polls once in a blue moon, and that's all it takes. Our founders recognize the opposite is true. It takes tireless vigilance in order to maintain our liberty. And the first place to start to maintain the liberty of the people is to know the history and to know these founding documents. As you said, if you don't know them, the tyrants are going to take our freedoms from us, and they're going to violate our God-given rights. And
you hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here at the Genesis Network with David Whitney.
According to the American Diabetes Association, more than 18 million people in the U.S. have diabetes. Most people with diabetes have risk factors such as obesity, high blood pressure, and cholesterol, which increase their risk for heart disease. For example, more than 65% of people with diabetes die from heart disease or stroke. Finding out you or your loved ones have diabetes can be scary. This is why, as your trusted online partner in health, we are committed to bringing you products that help you make informed decisions about your health. At researchherbs.com, you can learn more about GlucoCare, a highly effective and safe natural herbal supplement formulated specifically to help maintain optimal blood sugar levels. As with all products featured on researchherbs.com, GlucoCare is the result of several years of rigorous development and is backed by numerous clinical trials and experimental studies. Visit us online at researchherbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 to learn more. That's 1-800-845-3841.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
What's better than a tiny tiger in your tank? A tornado under your hood. A tornado is an easy-to-install, maintenance-free air twister designed to increase gas mileage. I personally commissioned independent tests to verify results in 6 vehicles, and all of them gained MPG with tornado. With today's gas prices, it makes sense to cage the gas-saving power of a tornado. Visit tornadoair.com or pick up your tornado at Checker, Shucks, and Cragen today.
In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly Clark.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, we're talking this afternoon with Pastor David Whitney about the Constitution of the United States and how important it is that you understand it. So pick up the story there, David.
Well, in our study thus far, we have talked about the first 6 articles of the Constitution. Just to give you a brief review of those, Article 1 deals with the legislature, Article 2 with the executive, Article 3 with the judiciary, Article 4 talks about the relationship between the states, Article 5 the important issue of how do you amend the Constitution. Last time we examined Article 6, which deals with a number of general matters, perhaps the most important of which is to remember the Supremacy Clause, that the Constitution itself is the supreme law of the land. And that means any law drafted, any law written, any ink spilled by a legislature on a piece of paper is only law if it is in full agreement and full concord with the Constitution. If it is against the Constitution, if it is unconstitutional, it is not law. And anyone who holds public office, as we also looked at in the sixth article, anybody who holds public office must take an oath. That's a promise, a solemn vow made to Almighty God to uphold the Constitution, which means a elected official or even an appointed official must understand this as the supreme law of the land and must refuse to enforce any law that's contrary to this, such as the Patriot Act, which we'll talk about in more detail when we get to the Fourth Amendment. But an official who enforces a law that is unconstitutional is violating his oath of office, and he should be removed from office, whether by the ballot box or by impeachment, because he has become a tyrant. That is, he has placed himself above the law. That is, that he could freely violate the law and act as if there's no consequences for that action. And we have, Dr. Stan, 90%+ of everything that Congress does and the President does and the Supreme Court, you know, all these unconstitutional actions going on day in, day out in Washington, D.C. And these tyrants, and that's what they are because they're usurping power that does not belong to them, these tyrants get away with that tyranny because the American people do not know this supreme law of the land, our U.S. Constitution. If they did and they chose to act upon it, that is their duty to hold their elected officials accountable and also force those elected officials to hold the appointed officials accountable, we could retake our country from the tyrants and we could return to the rule of law, that is the supreme law of the land, the United States Constitution, which is why I'm so passionate about having Americans understand this document and understand that it is their duty, especially as Christians. It's our Christian civic duty to know the Constitution and to act as citizens on the basis of that knowledge. Well, we come to Article 7. It is the ratification article. That is, how was the Constitution going to be approved and made the law, the supreme law of the land? The decision was that the Constitution would be effective when it was ratified by 9 of the 13 states. And the interesting thing here is that the Articles of Confederation, which were in force until the Constitution was ratified, according to Article 13 of the Articles of Confederation, unanimous consent was required to amend the Articles of Confederation. That is, all 13 states, to make any change to the Articles of Confederation, all 13 would have to be unanimous in their agreement. Now, as we talked about before, Rhode Island never showed up to the Constitution Convention, had no interest in any amending, and they knew they'd never be able to amend the Articles of Confederation at all because Rhode Island wasn't interested in participating. And so, in a sense, by proposing this new Constitution, they were bypassing that Article 13 of the Articles of Confederation. Now, some would be critical of them for doing so and say, wait a minute, this is invalid. And yet, consider this. Ultimately, all 13 states, including Rhode Island, ratified the Constitution. That is, ultimately, the level of requirement that the Articles of Confederation required, that was met when Rhode Island finally ratified the Constitution. The framers proposed this different means of ratification because they were certain that Rhode Island wouldn't ratify and possibly some other states wouldn't ratify. And in a sense, they were forming a new government, and they were giving each of the states a voluntary choice whether to join this new government or not. And that sounds kind of strange to us from our perspective because we have lost the sense of states having sovereign powers as sovereign entities of their own, in a sense as nations of their own, that was very strong, well up to the time of the war between the states. But that sense that the states were sovereign and were able to choose to join or not to join this union, to ratify the Constitution or not to ratify this Constitution, was very clearly understood by all of 13 states originally. And Rhode Island actually, as we'll see, it held out to the last, and it realized that, you know, these other 12 states, in a sense, had formed a national federation, you might want to call it a union of states, and by not participating in this union of states, Rhode Island recognized it was losing more than it was gaining by its independence, and so it chose voluntarily to join this. It's important to remember that this was voluntary, that the states themselves were creating what we call today the federal government, what they called the central government. They were creating it. The states were prior in existence and had a sovereignty that they were not sacrificing or losing by joining in this confederation of states in this federal government. And again, that's a strange idea to us, and the result of the war between the states was to say nobody has the right to secede from this union. Up until that point in time, every state, all 13 states and any new states coming in, they all knew they had the right to secede from this union. They had voluntarily entered it, and they could voluntarily leave it. The evidence is very clear. In the New England states, I think it was in the 1830s, there was a great deal of talk about seceding from the Union, just the New England states. And they actually met in convention in Connecticut to wrestle with this idea and vote on it. And ultimately, in the votes they took, they turned down that option that they knew they had, an option to secede from the Union. The Middle Atlantic states also talked about seceding from the Union. They never actually met in convention to do so, but nonetheless, the idea was certainly understood by all of them. Therefore, when the southern states seceded from the Union, the rest of the country knew that what they were doing was constitutionally permissible and legitimate. They weren't doing some violation of the Constitution. No, they had voluntarily joined the Constitutional Union, and they could voluntarily leave it, except for, and some of your listeners may have a hard time swallowing this because his reputation has been so polished and highly praised. It was only because of the tyranny of Abraham Lincoln, who said, no, you cannot leave this Union except in a body bag. We're going to kill you if you attempt to leave this Union. And because they ultimately won the war and the South surrendered, that principle was established. But it's not a constitutional principle. And that's what I would like the listeners to understand, that when the federal government becomes tyrannical and violates the Constitution, the states still have a constitutional right to secede and leave the Union. That's all the southern states were doing. Actually, if you were to go and study, and I've done a little bit of reading and studying of the Confederate Constitution, it's very parallel to this U.S. Constitution we're studying. They went about to correct some of the misinterpretations that were being acted upon even in that day, and they did so by refining it and making some of the statements much more pointed and clear to prevent the Confederate Union government from becoming tyrannical, as they argued that the tyrannical government in Washington, D.C. had become. So that's one of the important principles to remember, that like if you were to join a fitness club, say, and you were to sign up and you sign this contract and it says, you know, you're going to pay your dues every month and so on and so forth, and your contract with them is for a year. At the end of the year, you could choose to renew it or whatever, or to leave. And if you decided, well, I didn't really use the club that much, and at the end of the year I'm going to leave, and the owner came out with a gun to your head and said, no, you're not going to leave except in a body bag. You'd say, well, wait a minute, where was that? I didn't see any of that in a fine print. Show me that contract. Where does it say I can't leave this union? I can't leave this health club. And obviously that would be a ridiculous request and demand on the part of a health club, and it is a ridiculous request if you understand the form of government that our founders were creating. It was a voluntary union, a confederation of sovereign states, each sovereign state choosing to be part of this union, and they could also choose to depart from that union when they believed that it was in their best interest to do so. Now, going back to the details here in the Article 7, Congress actually approved the means of ratification and then sent this Constitution after September 17th, when they signed, and they sent the Constitution to each state for each state to hold a ratifying convention. And so what proceeded after September 1788 was a series of ratification conventions in each of the states where it was debated back and forth. Is this a good Constitution? Should we ratify it as a state? And ultimately, by the 21st of June 1788, the following year, June 21st, 1788, New Hampshire was the ninth state to ratify it, and the Constitution took effect. At least it took effect, you would say, for those nine states. The other four states that had not yet ratified the Constitution, they were still under the Articles of Confederation, and they had no obligation to abide by any terms of the Constitution because they had not yet joined the Union in that sense. Well, finally, all 13 joined North Carolina, ratified on the 21st of November 1789, a year later, and then Rhode Island ultimately in the year 1790 on May 29th joined the Union with a very close vote in their constitutional convention of 34 to 32. So we see Rhode Island still struggling with the idea of this centralized government at the Constitution.
Well, we'll be back in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney right here at Genesis. Proper nutrition is absolutely essential for good health, but most people just don't eat right. Did you know that vitamin C is essential for our health? It's responsible for our collagen, for our bone. It's an excellent antioxidant that protects our immune system, but we can't produce it. Every other animal in the world can produce it except for fruit bats, hamsters, and human beings, and that's why we need vitamin C supplements. Most people are vitamin D deficient during the winter months, and certainly those who work indoors are vitamin D deficient during the entire year, and you need supplements. If you'd like to learn about the various health books and tape sets and videos and other health products that are available for Radiodivity, why don't you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the Radiolivity Health Catalog.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
Hello, this is Amy Bjorklund. Are you totally satisfied with the nourishment you're getting? Do you have enough energy to do everything you really want to do? And are you content to remain in your current state of health indefinitely? Have you already tried diets, exercise, vitamins, juicing, or the latest greatest nutritional wonder products? Perhaps those things have grown tiresome and not made you feel and look as well as you'd really like to. But what if you found from a single source the world's freshest, purest, most complete, whole, live food nourishment that tastes delicious and couldn't be any easier to consume? Well, you just did. So don't hesitate. Take the living energy you've always wanted from your nutrition right now. Visit truthandexcellence.com, click the Truth and Excellence banner on gcnlive.com, or call me, Amy Bjorklund, personally at 805-595-2711. 805-595-2711.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is, of course, Pastor David Whitney. And we're talking about this amazing constitution that we have that really is the foundation of our very form of government and the freedom we enjoy, unlike that which is enjoyed by any people in any nation in the world. And step by step, this constitution is being repealed because there really are people who have a different world vision. They want total control over our lives. And then, of course, if you look behind what's going on to the spiritual component, and you recognize that, you know, God is justice and his justice will not sleep forever, and the fact that the church in America, the Christian leaders of this country, have allowed this country to degenerate to the moral status it is today, because they do not have the courage to speak up, and they have far more fear of a government than they have of God, I believe God is going to bring his judgment on this nation, and the only thing that's going to turn it around is revival. And then getting back to these fundamental ideas of limitation of the power of government and liberty, in contrast to the direction we're heading today, and that is total government regulation over every aspect of our lives and property and families and beliefs and tyranny. Go ahead, David. David Whitney, are you there?
Yes, yes, can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Okay, when you see the closing statements of the ratification, Article 7, it's very important to understand these phrases and understand how they identify this document as a Christian document. I've argued with history professors in a debate who want to say that Constitution is just a secular document. It's got no religious overtones. Well, wait a minute. They cannot explain. As I took them to this statement, they said, well, that's just a toss-off statement to date the document. It had no meaning whatsoever. Well, if you look at the words of that, what's called the subscription clause, that is, those who were signing this clause were signing their names under it on a certain date. And it says, done in convention by the unanimous consent of the states present. And by the way, it says the states present because Rhode Island was not present, and they wanted to acknowledge that. The majority of each state represented voted to ratify. So all 12 states present actually voted for ratification. There were three individuals who chose not to sign, Elbridge Gerry of Massachusetts and Edmund Randolph of Virginia, as well as George Mason of Virginia, were the three delegates to the convention who did not sign. Nonetheless, their states voted for ratification and went ahead with that. And then the phrase, in the year of our Lord, 1787. Notice several things here that are taking place by the use of this phrase. First of all, they're dating this document from an event in history. What event is that? It's the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1,787 years earlier. And so they were saying that the calendar that we are operating under is a Christian calendar that looks to the birth of Jesus Christ as the most important event in history. And that that event in history is what the basis for our starting this nation, starting this country. And you might say, well, you know, and the historian I debated said, well, you know, that's just a convention that they used at that day. It doesn't mean anything other than just we put a date on our you know, correspondence today. And I said, well, wait a minute. Just a few years later, there was an enormous revolution in France. And what did the French do when they conducted their revolution? They completely abolished the Christian calendar. They said year one, the first year that they began counting from, was the year that the French Revolution took place. They actually even went so far to reject God's design of a seven-day week, and they went to a 10-day week, which is absolutely crazy, and they found they couldn't even function because God designed us to work with a seven-day week. They couldn't function with a 10-day week, and so they ultimately had to revert back to a seven-day week. But to say that it's historically accurate, that this is just a convention that people used at that time and has no ultimate meaning to us, is to lie. It's a historic lie to say that. It's not true at all. Instead,
and of course, the fact that we still live in the year 2006. 2006 years since the birth of our Lord, because we are still, at least have the rudiments of a Christian nation. And of course, the other things that, of course, point to the fact that this is a Christian nation is the fact that the various things that they did swore an oath, that when the president had a certain amount of time to veto a law, it accepted Sundays. Why? Because everybody knew this was the Christian Sabbath. But I think the most important thing is what follows just after this reference to the year of our Lord.
Yeah.
And that is, of course, the statement that an 11 years since the founding. And what was the founding? Why, that was when the Declaration of Independence was signed, of course, because that was the founding document of America, a document that says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed with their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a conspiracy against God. That's why they don't want to teach that at all. They don't want to teach that the Declaration of Independence was the Articles of Incorporation. Why? Because it mentions God, and these people hate God.
If you would like a copy of this show, come to GCNLive.com and reserve it today. Or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Hello, this is Amy Bjorklund. Are you totally satisfied with the nourishment you're getting? Do you have enough energy to do everything you really want to do? And are you content to remain in your current state of health indefinitely? Have you already tried diets, exercise, vitamins, juicing, or the latest, greatest nutritional wonder products? Perhaps those things have grown tiresome and not made you feel and look as well as you'd really like to. But what if you found from a single source the world's freshest, purest, most complete, whole, live food nourishment that tastes delicious and couldn't be any easier to consume? Well, you just did. So don't hesitate. Take the living energy you've always wanted from your nutrition right now. Visit truthandexcellence.com, click the Truth and Excellence banner on gcnlive.com, or call me, Amy Bjorklund, personally at 805-595-2711. 805-595-2711.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared, but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout. Developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Do you remember when you could eat most anything and not worry about it? Or maybe weight management has always been a problem. Are you frustrated, burned out, and tired of fad diets and marketing gimmicks that don't really work? Do you want a proven system, a long-term solution, to live a healthier lifestyle and properly manage your weight? At WeCanTogether.com, our approach is different. We focus on the whole you, personalized for your unique body composition, individual needs, and personal goals, not the cookie-cutter approach offered by others. Join today and have direct access to real people that are certified health and fitness professionals. Now there is help you can count on. WeCanTogether.com is the most complete, comprehensive wellness and training resource available on the web today. Visit us now and receive your free membership. Go to WeCanTogether.com. That's WeCanTogether.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest is Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. Before we go on, David, would you like to get your telephone number, your webpage out, and tell our listeners about the Institute of the Constitution and why it is so very important and why it is such a shame that our form of government is not embraced by people throughout the entire world?
Yes, we have what we call a host kit. That is, the principles I'm talking about here on the radio are part of a course. And that's a 12-week course. It could be done in various structures, but a 12-week half-hour lecture with time for interacting with the thoughts of that lecture, a series of fill-in-the-blank questions, as well as a test that the student can take later to see how well they retain what they heard in the lecture. And our host kit is designed that anybody, anywhere, with any group of people can communicate the principles of law and government that our founders believed in, that they established our country on, also giving them a working knowledge of the Declaration, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights, which, as I said at the beginning of the show, is essential, very essential for any one of us to fulfill our God-given duty as Christian citizens in this land. So we encourage people to call us. They can call us toll-free to order their host kit, and that's 866-730-9796. Our toll-free number is 866-730-9796. Or they can actually order it on our web store by going to our website. Our website is iotconline.com, iotconline.com. I know many conservatives struggle because they feel like, well, it's hopeless. The New World Order is rolling us over and there's nothing we can do. Well, yes, there is something very specific that every single person can do. That is, get themselves a host kit educate their family, then educate their church community. Every church that believes the Bible should be teaching this course, or maybe not our course, another course, but teaching the Christian principles of law and government from God's Word, the Bible, and then teaching the history of our founders who based this form of government upon God's law, the Bible, the laws of nature and nature's God. And this is a simple way for anyone to do it. And Dr. Stan, we're really encouraged because across the country this fall, new courses are being formed. People are starting up for the first time who've never done this before, saying, I need to do something. And here's something practical, something simple that I can do to make a difference, beginning by educating myself, my family, my church members, friends, neighbors, everybody I possibly can in my circle of influence, so that we can spread millions of Americans who understand these principles, can take our country back from the New World Order goons who are currently in control of it. And so that's what we're about, and what we're talking through here as we present these shows is basically following the same outline that's given to each person who purchases a host kit, that they have an outline, detailed outline of each lecture in a notebook. And then as a host, they're also given a host notebook that gives them detailed instructions as to how to conduct the course, as well as the DVDs, or if they do want VHS, that's also available for each of the lectures.
And, of course, you actually will have questions to ask the people in the class, but you'll know what the answer is.
That's right. It
all comes as part of the host kit. And, again, what is the telephone number to call if they'd like more information?
Our toll-free number is 866 730-9796.
Yeah, one more time.
That's 866-730-9796.
Do you have any other, has anybody from another country ever called in to get a host kit so that they could introduce these concepts of freedom to their nation?
We have had some people from Canada order host kits, and the Canadian situation is tragically far worse than things here in our country. And we have had some people from Central America order a host kit, and I do know there may be one European individual who, at least I know they were interested. I did not hear whether they actually followed through with it, but because the principles we're talking about here are universal. They're not just only true for these United States, but if these were applied in any country of the world, they too would experience the liberty and freedom that once made America a great nation. And returning to those is the only way that we are going to return to being a great nation where liberty and justice for all is not just a phrase, but actually a true statement about the condition of our land.
Amen to that. Well, let's get on with the discussing of the Constitution, but I do hope many of our listeners will give serious consideration to getting a host kit, starting a program, and beginning to teach the people, because it's got to begin with the people. Believe me, it's not going to begin in Washington, D.C., where you have people who have a whole different worldview, and they hate the Constitution because it prevents them from doing what they want to do, and that is enslave us.
That's right. Well, you mentioned before the break the great importance there in that last phrase, not only, you know, from the year of our Lord, but then and of the independence. So the very first important historical marker is the birth of Jesus Christ. The second is the independence of the United States of America, the 12th, so 12 years from the independence. And note they said there, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is so important because it says not they were just referring to a date. They would have said the Lord Jesus Christ and left it at that. No, they said our Lord, indicating a relationship that they we're entering into with the Lord Jesus Christ that really is a covenant. And this harks back to the Old Testament covenantal relationship between the king and the people and between the king and God and the people and God. And Jehoiada, it says it in 2 Chronicles, made a covenant, and that covenant was between the people and the king and between the king and God and between the people and God, that the people should be the Lord's people is the exact phrase of that verse. Now, so it's a triangle. If you draw a triangle with God at the top, the people over on one side, and the government, the king, on the other side, the king is entering a covenant with God. We know that that is what they intended here in this Constitution, because every single official who holds office must take an oath. That is an oath to who? An oath to the God of the Bible, an oath to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet people say, wait a minute, David, if you're talking about that, that can't be right, because we know that in the sixth article, it said there would be no religious test. Well, they misread this because there's no religious test on the federal level, but every state in the union, all 13 states, had some form of religious test for anyone who would hold office in their state, as well as anyone that would be permitted to run for office on the federal level. For example, let me just read to you from Delaware's state constitution, Article 22, every person who shall be chosen a member of either house or appointed to any office or place of trust shall make and subscribe the following declaration, to wit, I, and then the person's name, do profess faith in God the Father, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, and in the Holy Ghost, one God, blessed forevermore, and I do acknowledge the holy scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be given by divine inspiration. You could not hold office in Delaware, or not be nominated from Delaware to, you know, be even considered for any federal office if you did not have a clear profession of Christian faith. You see, our founders didn't want that decision to be made in terms of what a person would believe. They didn't want that made on the federal level because they did not want to establish a national religious denomination. But the states were, and they were free to, and they did require a statement of belief on the part of anyone who would hold any office, state or federal. So that was a state issue. It wasn't that it was not an issue and could never be done, which is the misinterpretation of what they were doing. Instead, it was a state issue, and the states were free to make that determination as to what a office holder or a potential office holder would have to believe in order to hold office. And so our founders were forming a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ by this Constitution, and the evidence is here in the subscription clause. And again, we need to remember that the purpose for which the Declaration of Independence was penned was to express the purposes of government. The why question was being answered there. The Constitution is more of a procedural document answering the how question, but even in answering the how, we see here reflected in Article 7 and Article 6, the requirement of an oath, and as you mentioned, the exception of Sunday, all these things demonstrate this is a Christian document founded upon the laws of nature and nature's God. The Declaration is, in a sense, the preamble to the Constitution and must be understood that way, or you really can't understand the philosophy of government of our founders, and therefore you will, without a question, you will make a mistake in interpreting the Constitution if you do not interpret it in light of the Declaration of Independence. Well, the ratification debates as they took place in each one of the states, one of the repeated themes in almost each state ratifying convention was this. This is a nice document, but it lacks one very, very important thing, and what it lacks is a Bill of Rights. So again and again, the Bill of Rights issue was brought up. Historically, Englishmen had thought it necessary to reassert their ancient rights. The first one on record we have is Magna Carta in 1215. The King John had become tyrannical, had been violating the God-given rights of the people of England, and so the barons, the highest level of government beneath the king, they came together and at sword point said to the king, you're either going to sign the Magna Carta or you're no longer going to be king. We're going to remove you from your throne. And so, basically, at threat of losing his throne, King John signed the Magna Carta, even though he did not want to do so. Another illustration in history, much closer to the time of our founding, was the Englishman's Bill of Rights in 1689, which came out of the Glorious Revolution, where again, the king was violating and usurping God-given rights, and the Englishman actually overthrew the king and beheaded him, of all things, Charles I, and they reasserted the true, ancient, and indubitable rights and liberties of the people with the Englishman's Bill of Rights in 1689. And so the question was being asked of those who were part of the, you know, convention, constitutional convention, why in the world didn't you put a Bill of Rights into this document? And Madison's response is very interesting. He said, no Bill of Rights was actually required. It was actually unnecessary since the federal government had only limited delegated powers. In other words, the seven articles that we've studied of the Constitution, that's the only thing the federal government can do. If it isn't given explicit permission in those seven articles of the Constitution to do something, it has no permission to do it. And we've talked about before, when we looked at Article 1, Section 8, there's the list. And Congress violates that every day when they spend money on the Department of Education or the whole list, a shopping list of things that are unconstitutional in terms of what the federal government is doing. Madison said, we don't need to worry about the federal government because it can only do what we have permitted it to do explicitly in the statements of this Constitution. It only has limited delegated powers. So he was saying there's no need to prohibit government from doing what government has no authority to do anyway. Oh, boy, don't we wish that that was the perspective of those who inhabit the Beltway in Washington, D.C., that they could only do those things that were explicitly stated limited delegated powers. No, they're going to do whatever they want to do because, as most of the other people who were objecting to not having a Bill of Rights understood, human nature being what it is, fallen and sinful, people are going to violate any limits you place upon them, and you've got to put very, very strict limits. Alexander Hamilton, another founder, said a Bill of Rights could actually be dangerous. And he said this because you couldn't possibly list all your rights if you sat down tonight and started a list. You couldn't possibly think of all of those rights that you have been given by God. And so a future government might conclude that rights not listed in the list you made were rights that you had forfeited to the government. And so his argument is rights are better protected by relying upon established English and American common law. And, you know, he had a point there. His objection was actually answered, and we'll see the answer to his objection really in the Tenth Amendment, which was a good answer to his objection that you couldn't possibly list all of your rights. Well, the lack of a Bill of Rights was really a principal objection of many who opposed the Constitution, like Patrick Henry, great patriot that he is, and George Mason, even Thomas Jefferson. He was not in the country when the Constitution was ratified and drafted. Actually, he was in France as a representative of our nation. And he said that he generally liked the Constitution, but he regretted that there was no Bill of Rights. So he felt that there was a lack there as well. So the supporters of the Constitution actually had to promise in the state ratification debates that they would fully support a Bill of Rights if the Constitution were ratified. So in many of the state conventions, it was basically a deal. We'll ratify this Constitution provided there will be a Bill of Rights that immediately follows its ratification. And so there indeed was. The ratifying conventions of the states themselves, when they ratified it, they also proposed amendments that they sent on to Congress. Actually, a total of 350 amendments were proposed. Those amendments, many of them, were duplications of each other and so on. And so James Madison worked those 350 into a list of 12 amendments, and he introduced them in Congress in the next year, 1789. Of those 12, only 10 were ratified together as a block. Now, as we studied the amendment process, we saw that it requires three-quarters of the states to ratify, and by 1791, three-quarters of the states had ratified the first 10 amendments, which we call the Bill of Rights, because they were ratified as a block to protect our God-given rights. The 11th Amendment that Madison had proposed dealt with congressional reapportionment and was never ratified. And the 12th Amendment, oddly enough, it dealt with congressional pay raises and the details of that. It didn't receive much initial support. But oddly enough, in recent years, interest in this amendment was actually renewed, and it was finally ratified by three-quarters of the states in the year 1993, 200 years later, and it's known today as the 27th Amendment to the Constitution. The important thing to remember about the Bill of Rights, these first 10 amendments, is each single one of these Bill of Rights limits the power of the federal government. It restricts the power of the federal government. If you were to visualize it this way, the seven articles of the Constitution state what the federal government can do. And the first ten amendments, the Bill of Rights, states what the federal government cannot do. In a sense, the Bill of Rights builds a very strong, impregnable wall that surrounds the federal government, saying you must stay within these four walls. Actually, you could say these 10 walls of the ten amendments of the Bill of Rights. You have to stay within these 10. You do not have any permission to go outside or to violate these in any way, shape, or form. If you do, you have usurped power that does not rightly belong to you, and you need to be removed from office for a treasonous action. You are violating the Constitution you took an oath to uphold. And so the limitation that these Bill of Rights were designed to cordon in our federal government, what has happened over the course of 200 years is bit by bit, brick by brick, that wall has been taken down in almost every respect, and now the federal government finds itself free to range into areas where it has no jurisdiction, areas where it has no constitutional authority. And so the federal government freely violates the Constitution, as I said, 90-plus percent of the time, and gets away with it because the American people do not know the Constitution, and they do not know the Bill of Rights, and they do not know, therefore, how they are to rein in those who are in those positions of power.
All right, very good. Well, we're going to be back here, and, well, I guess we're out of time, David. Let's get your telephone number and your webpage out just one more time.
Our toll-free number is 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. And our website is IOTC.
Have you ever wondered why the incidence of cancer and diabetes and heart disease is increasing in the United States? Are you eating a lot of food that's loaded with sugars in them? Or are you certainly eating prepackaged meals that are loaded with MSG? Or are you drinking Diet Coke that's loaded with aspartame? What are you doing to protect your health? What are you doing to protect the health of your family? Well, most people really don't understand the importance of good nutrition, so I've compiled a list of the books on health, the tape sets, the videos, the vitamins and minerals and herbal products that Radio Liberty carries, and the doses of the products that we recommend. If you'd like to receive a free copy of the Radio Liberty Health Catalog, why don't you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. 8927, and remember, proper nutrition is essential for good health.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in the U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
If you're looking at the world today from within the box, you must see total chaos and feel lost with no hope. Out-of-the-box thinkers, such as Nostradamus, who saw the world from a different perspective, knew that nature or God's truth would prevail. They saw that today's organized religions and governments are being judged, not with the hand of man through atomic wars, but with the hand of God through natural disasters. We are judging ourselves during this trying apocalyptic period by all our hidden truths being uncovered. Don't you see this happening through the media today? Just remember these famous words. Everything hidden will be uncovered, and the truth will make you free. For evidence of these statements, get Jerry Vanno's new book, The Uncovering of the Greatest Story Never Told. Go to www.gvanno.com. That's www.gvanno.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and this is the time when I really need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will want to join the Radio Liberty family and help us as we reach out across America so that we can reach out across the world to try to bring the message of freedom to people in other nations that have never heard really the source of America's freedom. And that was our belief in God, our belief that men were inherently evil, and we had to limit the power of government. Now, I do want to mention a couple of things. First of all, we are having our all-day Radio Liberty Conference. It'll be held here in the Monterey Bay area on the 29th of October. That's the 29th of October. It's a Sunday. We're going to have Constance Cumby. We're going to have Chris Pinto, who produced the film The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, a great lineup of speakers. We're going to be serving lunch, so you're going to have to call in and make a reservation so we'll know you'll be here. And if you're coming from outside, we'll have some rooms reserved at a decreased price. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we want to mention that we are carrying the ready reserve foods, and if you really haven't got a supply of foods or emergency supplies in, we're moving towards a war in the Middle East that's going to have terrible repercussions here. You need to have on hand what you will need in case of a national emergency. So if you'd like to get a food catalog, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get a health catalog and know the sort of products that Barbara and I take to keep our health up, and as you know, I'm 77 and still going strong, and the selenium and coenzyme Q10 and quercetin and curcumin and all of these things, if you want to know about them, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a health catalog, and of course you'll want to get some of the books that go along with that, the Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life by Russell Blaylock, some of our 4-tape sets, certainly the Miracle of Magnesium, the book on statin drugs, the book on excitotoxins, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. We've got all sorts of books which on health issues which you really should know about and learn about. And then if you'd like to get a free copy of one of our newsletters, we'd be glad to send it to you to begin to understand the spiritual forces which are working behind the scenes, intent upon destroying the sovereignty of America and the freedom of all men. The telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is www.radioliberty.com. Now, you can, of course, go there. You can listen to our programs of 3 hours a day. That's 3 hours a day. On that website, we do 2 other hours a day, and the links are there. You can listen to our program on shortwave. You can listen to it on satellite at Telstar 9. And then, of course, you can listen to it on your local radio station. Please encourage others to listen to the programs to begin to get educated. What is this all about? You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or see the video or the DVD. It's available through Radio Liberty. Then, of course, you need to get some of the other books and 4-tape sets and videos we have. The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour versions about these wealthy and very well-known musicians who admit they sold their souls to the devil. And then, of course, you'd want to get The Da Vinci Con by Pastor Joe Schimmel. It's subtitled Hollywood's War Against America. And we might even add against the world, because there is a conscious effort to corrupt people, not only in America, but throughout the world. And America is the center of pornography and really of depravity for the entire world. And then, of course, we remind you, you know, to always remember, you know, if you were to die tomorrow, where would you spend eternity? And if you were to stand before the gates of heaven and ask why you should be admitted, what would your answer be? Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfall, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information.
Okay.
Oh, beautiful.
is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station we're listening to. My views, the views of our guest, and today our guest is Patrick Murphy, and he's, of course, from the August Review, August Institute, and we're going to be talking about some of the things he's been putting out recently. Good evening, Patrick. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I'm great.
Well, I was just reading something you put out this last week about the North American Union, a top goal of the Secretary of Commerce.
Please forgive me, but it must be another Patrick Murphy.
Well, let's see. Maybe I'm sorry. It is another Patrick Murphy. Anyway, how are you doing?
I'm doing terrific. I've anxious to talk about my book. And
all right, well, let's talk about your book, because we have another Patrick Murphy from the August Review. Let's talk about your book and, of course, this whole idea of what's happening to our society. You pick up the story there.
Well, what I would like to say what happened to me sometime in the past, a couple of years ago, a lot of my research gelled. It came all together at the same time, and suddenly I realized something that had been bothering me for a very long time was now clear. And I think that this is something that bothers a lot of people, and it hasn't become clear to them. And I wrote a book. I think the Lord gave it to me this clarity really, I think, is helpful. And that is this, that civilizations have lifespan. And Western civilization, which is, we could simplistically think of it as a combination between the Judeo worldview, the Old Testament and Christianity as it emerged, and Rome, and ancient Rome. The way of life, the thought patterns of Rome, sort of melded with the worldview of the Bible. And a new civilization was born that was different than Rome, and it was different than the Jewish civilization before. It was something new. It was a whole way of looking at the world. Now, that developed for some time, and it culminated, I think its peak was in the Renaissance and in the founding of America by the Puritans, by the pilgrims. But here's the clarity. Here's the thing that I discovered that I believe is true and that I wrote my book about. That civilization ended sometime in my lifetime. I was born in 1960. I think that was the transition period, the last half of the 20th century. Now we're in a new civilization, something that is alien to what we believed before. So what we have is a big problem. And that problem is that we haven't caught on to the fact that the old norms no longer work. So if we think of, for instance, Christian revival, and we've had numerous examples of that, well, you might call the Reformation a revival. But in America, we had the Great Awakening and the Second Great Awakening. Those things worked because you could reclaim lost souls, people who had drifted away, sheep that had wandered from the fold. But my contention is that in this new civilization, people are not born into the fold. They're very similar to people from alien civilizations, like Japanese people before World War II, you know, or Africans before the West ever got there.
All right, you just hold that thought, Patrick. We'll be back here in just a moment to talk with Patrick Murphy about his book, How the West Was Lost.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements.
He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes Scholarship, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Yes, there is a choice, a real alternative when it comes to news and information. The GCN Radio Network has become a world leader for those who want to know the truth. Visit GCNLive.com today and discover the amazing benefit of becoming a subscriber to the GCNLive.com Radio Club. By becoming a monthly subscriber, you gain access to higher quality audio streams of all of the compelling GCN broadcasts. A full archive of the shows are posted on a daily basis within 3 hours, so you can listen to what you want, when you want, fast forward, rewind, pause, and at the same time, you are supporting a beacon of free speech. Visit GCNLive.com and become a member. It's so easy. There's a choice. There is an alternative, and it's called GCNLive.com. Visit GCNLive.com today. You can also get the entire month of your favorite show on MP3 CD that plays on computers and most CD and DVD players for only $19.95. Go to GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645. Hello, friends. Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean, real hard to find all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, detergents, or other dangerous toxins. The Calbin Pure Soap Company, for the past 57 years, has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. That's great news because Calbin Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients. Is earth-friendly and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Sometime in the 20th century. And
Hold that thought right there. Our guest is Patrick Murphy, and he's talking about his book, How the West Was Lost, and talking about really what had happened to America. And Patrick was saying that America was really the sort of the culmination of Christian civilization, a wonderful nation where men could be free and where the power of the government was limited and where your property rights were your own and where men, most men, were honest and moral. And certainly not all of them, but most men were. I mean, I can remember growing up, you didn't have to have your doors locked. During the Depression, when there were some people who were hungry, people would come to the door. There wasn't a lot of crime. You know, they could always find somebody who would offer them a meal or perhaps they would work for food. We did not have problems with getting out of moral people. But sometime in the 1960s and 70s and 80s, that moral structure of our society, probably even earlier than that, maybe in the 50s and or late 40s, maybe immediately after the Second World War, but that moral structure began to erode, but it did not erode, at least in my estimation, accidentally. There was truly, apparently, a diabolical plan behind it, but I'd like to get Patrick's thought on that. You pick up the story there.
I totally agree with you. You know, a lot of your work, Dr. Stanton, especially in your writings and your public presentation, is about how the seeds were sown intentionally to destroy this thing, so the wheat and the tares grew up together. I do reference that in my book, but obliquely. I don't go directly to the supernatural element because, you know, I don't want the book to be too big. I want it to be manageable. But I totally agree that this was intentional. The devil hated it. I mean, if you think of all of the efforts the devil has launched to subvert and destroy Christian life, well, who wouldn't be surprised that he would attempt to attack America? And And so it was an intentional assault. I know that, Dr. Sen, you've talked about how Francis Bacon actually commissioned diabolical forces, you know, subversive kind of spiritual elements in the early founding. So America was always had the tension from the very beginning. But you know what? I focus on more of the 20th century when I talk about the evil seeds that had been sown. And I talk about Antonio Gramsci, who was a communist, who a lot of people don't know how valuable and important his contribution was to the subversion of Christian society. And just for a moment, I could give a thumbnail sketch of this guy. He was a communist from Italy who wanted to help Stalin win. Actually, well, he wanted to help Lenin win in Russia. And he realized that you cannot overthrow European Christendom. You can't just do that. You can't just, you know, have the peasants in the streets and overthrow the thing. You have to subvert the minds of the people, and you have to take the Christianity out. Well, Stalin didn't like that, and he had to flee, because, you know, Stalin liked to just roll over people with tanks if you know, or you know, just bludgeon them or whatever. He was very crude in his technique. And Gramsci was saying, no, you have to be subtle. You have to take time, too. You can't do it immediately. Well, anyway, Gramsci was put in a prison for being a communist in Italy, and he wrote a bunch of volumes of work, which ended up really influencing the intellectual of Europe and America, too. And so his technique of subverting, of stripping Christianity out of Western civilization, that is what triumphed. And this man is laughing at us from his grave. And if the devil lets you laugh in devilish, hellish prisons, he's laughing at us because he won. It didn't matter that he was put in a prison because he was given the opportunity to write all these volumes of theoretical things. And so then these university professors who were real enamored of communism and this, they wanted to do it. And so, they really wanted to undo the moral rectitude of America. And our kids, now, I was born in 1960, I'm one of those kids. I mean, we were indoctrinated. The whole idea was to systematically strip us from our heritage. And now, I think, it's lost. I think that heritage is lost. I think our kids are growing up in a different world. And I'm saying, and the premise of my book is that if we're going to evangelize, we have to have a different attack. We have to have a different approach. We have to think of the people around us differently. And that is why I feel like I talk too much, Dr. Sen. Maybe
you go right ahead.
Well, here's my thing. My premise is that if we are going to approach the man on the street today in America, we have to think of them much like the missionary of the past thought of, say, when the English went to India, and you're just reaching a person who knew nothing about Christ. Because my feeling is that we're not, that's my conviction, is that we're not drawing them back into the fold. These people around us are growing up in a pagan culture, in a new civilization where the moral backdrop is different. Christianity was not, is no longer what we assume to be true. Let me, you know, I read a few sentences and I dropped off. I'll just read two more. The God of the Bible was never out of sight. This is when the laws had been written throughout American history until, say, 1970. Let's just for a broad term. It's a crude number. The God of the Bible was never out of sight, even when political men were doing their best to get around him. Now he's disregarded entirely. Certainly, the internal holiness component, to the degree that it would reflect the obedience to the external law, was throughout the history of the West unambiguously biblical. We always tried to do that. We always tried to match our laws with biblical ideas. But now murder, abortion, false dealing, violent crime, homosexual behavior, pornography, all of these were crimes because God in the Bible had declared them to be sins. That is why our legal structure was what it was. And we brought up our kids to have that attitude. But now it's different. Now these things are morally ambiguous issues, even the horrible ones, the most obviously horrible ones. Now, why is it? How have we drifted so far? What, throughout American history, we always knew that the anchor, or the moral anchor of our civic life, was biblical morality. And I asked myself for a long time, I said, you know, how is it that this has ceased to be true? It bothers me that it has ceased to be true, and it bothers many of us. I mean, there's so many people just like me that really are disturbed by it. Now, the point is it has happened, and that's the sobering conclusion I drew. The kids growing up today don't have the benefit of that moral backdrop that we all had. And I know that that's an unpleasant reality, because a lot of us wish that we could just go back, you know, and then think maybe we could just woo these kids back. But I don't think they can be wooed back. I think they have to be converted to a new way of thinking, and we need a new system of evangelism.
Well, but of course, what system of evangelism will work? Certainly, there are certain eternal truths, and that, you know, is just laid out in the Bible, you know. God has his laws, and you disobey those laws, you're going to get into trouble. And if we try to equivocate, you know, we're not going to be able to change anything at all. We'll simply be telling at windmills, how can we reach the young people who have been indoctrinated in an atheistic, godless philosophy in our schools, have been indoctrinated in the beliefs of Alfred Kinsey, funded, of course, by the Rockefeller Foundation, and his immoral ideas that, you know, recreational sex is perfectly all right, and it's being taught in our schools. We have young people who don't have a sense of values, and then we wonder why that sometimes they'll go out and do these terrible, terrible things, because they've never been punished. They don't realize there are consequences for your actions. And yet, of course, if a parent tries to discipline their child today, they can be convicted of child abuse. We live in a world gone mad, or maybe intentionally gone mad.
Well, you know, Dr. Stan, you know, in the concluding chapter, what I say is that we must be like Francis Schaeffer. Francis Schaeffer, to me, is a great hero of the faith. He was a missionary to Europe shortly after World War II. And he discovered how advanced the de-Christianizing of the civilization was already, how advanced it was at that time. Now, you can imagine that, because today we're now a topic of conversation, but he saw it then. And he developed, almost by accident, a systematic way of dealing with this problem. And I think that we all must develop that. That is my prescription. What he did, first of all, he knew the Bible really well. And he wasn't afraid of the Bible's inability he knew the Bible was not incapable of handling any moral question that came up. Any frontal attack, no matter how harsh, people would find their way to his enclave or the colony, whatever you want to call it in Switzerland, called La Brie. And he would, I mean, you could attack the Bible, you could attack Christian faith full face. You know, people actually did read his books and go there just to attack it personally. And many of these people were converted to Christ by the response. I think that this is how we're going to have to do it. I think this was the kernel, the seed of what we need to be doing in the 21st century. People are going to not know why biblical morality is true. That is the problem. They're not going to know
because of
this new civilization they're brought up in.
All right, fine. We're going to be back in just a moment with Patrick Murphy talking about his book, which incidentally we do carry here at Radio Liberty, How the West Was Lost. Now, of course, I believe it's been, what has happened is part of a very carefully laid plan, but Patrick's approach is, what do we do about it? And I think it's an important question that each of us must ask. Because, you see, the America we knew really doesn't exist anymore. And it didn't happen by accident. But doesn't matter how we feel about it, how will we address the problem?
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll-free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
I used to be ashamed of my toenails. I thought I was destined to wear tennis shoes through the heat of the summer and hide my toes at the beach. And then my podiatrist told me about Non-X Nail Gel. It tackles unsightly nails by clearing out the cause of the problem, yellowing keratin debris buildup. With regular use, Non-X Gel breaks down and removes the debris, so toenails look clear. This summer, I'm wearing open-toed sandals again, thanks to a topical natural gel called Non-X. If your toenails are embarrassing, I recommend Non-X Nail Gel. It's at your pharmacy or mass retailer in the foot care section.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Hello, this is Amy Bjorklund. Thanks to a quantum leap in garlic research, the health benefits of 20 fresh garlic cloves are now available in one tiny capsule. With stabilized allicin, the proven power of garlic has been transformed into what is perhaps the most important medicinal product ever developed, and there's no odor. Stabilized allicin gives you and your family a safe, natural weapon that kills harmful bacteria, viruses, and funguses, all without harming the friendly bacteria in the digestive tract. This means strong immunity, fewer and shorter colds, and the best possible protection from deadly diseases, none of which prescription drugs can offer. What's more, this product can deter mosquitoes from biting you and safely keep fleas and ticks off your pets. Visit truthandexcellence.com, click the Truth and Excellence banner on GCNlive.com, or call me, Amy Bjorklund, personally at 805-595-2711. 805-595-2711.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Patrick Murphy. His book, How the West Was Lost. And Patrick is saying that, of course, if you want to reach young people, you have to deal with love and conversation. But, you know, how long does it take to reach one person that way? And we've got a whole generation of young people who have been had their very souls destroyed in the modern educational system that teaches them the Bible is wrong. That man evolved from the slime, that evolution is a reality and the Bible is wrong. And, of course, these children have no foundation for their beliefs. And then we wonder why they're so lost. Like so many of them are simply in revolt, and many of them get involved in crime and drugs because people have to believe in something. Everybody has to believe in something. And when people cease to believe in God, I think it was... not C.S. Lewis, but G.K. Chesterton, who said, people who reject God and don't believe in God, it's not that they believe in nothing. It's that they'll believe in anything. And so we see so many of them being drawn into the New Age and this alternative spirituality and this promise that we can be as gods and we can have great power if we'll only embrace these alternative religions. So pick up the story there, Patrick.
You know, some of them are attracted to Islam, which is ironic and strange because it's so harsh and unpleasant, but at least it gives solid rules. I think a lot of these people just are tired of a civilization that is just at sea, that has no moral anchors. And I'll tell you, it's interesting because when I was writing the book, I had been studying a lot about Islam, and there's a chapter in the book about it, and there's also an appendix about it. And in the meantime, I have learned of a ministry here in America. It's in Indianapolis, and it's called the Crescent Project. And the director of that has become a friend of mine, and I've learned his technique. It's very interesting how to deal with Muslims. The whole idea is to convert Muslims to Christ. And his technique is totally amazing and counterintuitive to much of anyone who knows much about Islam knows that it's so horrifying and evil that you want to tell Muslims it's horrifying and evil, but he says, don't do that. No, what we want to do is prove to them through the Quran that they're obligated to read the New Testament. So we don't want to scare them away. They're like timid. They know something's wrong about Islam. The people who grew up in it know. I mean, Muslims in the foreign lands that are Muslim-dominated, they want to come here. They know there's something at home that they don't want. They want to get out of there. So he says, use that in everybody's favor. We want them to go to heaven. Well, okay, using this technique for Muslims is a great idea, and it's hard to learn, but it's just the love of Christ that we're actually showing them. We're not condemning them. I think that this should be bridged over into Christianity. And so what we need to do is find a way, as we discuss the truth with Americans, people who are unaware of the claims of Christ or have rejected them because they don't really know the truth about the reality of it, we need to do the same thing. We need to find a way of reaching into their hearts and getting them to read the New Testament, because then that's the Holy Spirit's job. Then we're just handing it off to God to awaken in them a recognition of the truth of the thing. And so, in my view, in the new civilization that we're now living in, the last thing anyone will do is pick up the New Testament, much less the Old Testament. I mean, the Bible just doesn't seem like a reasonable book to read. So we have to create in them an interest in this thing. And I think it's our relationship building that will cause that to be... Because if they see our lives, you know, if they see us with joy and how we handle hardship and adversity and all the rest of it, they will take us seriously if we, because I think everybody really does want the truth. I do. I know, Dr. Sen, you just mentioned about the New Age, and they're floundering. They're just out there trying to take anything in, and they just want to develop a religious life. They're longing for it. So what we have to do is demonstrate through our behavior that we really have the answer.
I'll never forget that movie, Ulysses, which was quite, it was a television docudrama, but those who don't remember, Ulysses was, you know, had been to Troy to fight in Troy. He wanted to go home, but for one reason or another, he was just shuttled from one area to another and has all these tremendous and dangerous adventures, and he keeps wanting to go home. And one time he stands on the shore, and he shouts into the waves towards the gods, why have you done this to me? And the voice of Neptune comes back and says, because man cannot live without his gods. Well, of course, it's a false god, but there's a lot of truth to that. Man does need God. Every man needs God.
copies of the preceding broadcast are available at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Proper nutrition is absolutely essential for good health, but most people just don't eat right. Did you know that vitamin C is essential for our health? It's responsible for our collagen, for our bone. It's an excellent antioxidant that protects our immune system, but we can't produce it. Every other animal in the world can produce it except for fruit bats, hamsters, and human beings, and that's why we need vitamin C supplements. Most people are vitamin D deficient during the winter months, and certainly those who work indoors are vitamin D deficient during the entire year, and you need supplements. If you'd like to learn about the various health books and tape sets and videos and other health products that are available from Radionivity, why don't you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the Radionivity Health Catalog.
September 11th, 2001 changed the world, and the world is now realizing that the official story of that infamous day just doesn't make sense. The overwhelming majority of Americans believe that there is a government cover-up, according to a CNN poll. 9/11 in plain sight, the director's cut is a compilation of unaltered news footage and photos from major networks and publications that raises questions that officials dare not ask, let alone answer. The worldwide firestorm of questions raised has forced some into a position of desperation damage control to keep this documentary from being seen or accepted by the masses. Why have these efforts been made to keep you from seeing this documentary and simply asking common sense questions? Find out. You must see 9/11 in plain sight, the director's cut, and share it with as many people as possible. Call 877-817-9829 to order your copy. That's 877-817-9829. Unless these questions are answered honestly, the world could be plunged into a third world war. Stop this madness. Call 877-817-9829 today and order your copy of 9/11 in plain sight, the director's cut.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Patrick Murphy, and before we get on into his discussion, you know, of some of the things he read, specifically a book called Holy Blood, Holy Grail, which is really the basis of the Da Vinci Code written by Dan Brown, which has had such an impact on people all across America, and indeed was recently converted into a movie with Tom Hanks. But before we do that, Patrick, do you have a website or anything you'd like to get out to our listeners?
I do. The name of the book is How the West Was Lost, and the website is howthewestwaslost.info. That's howthewestwaslost.com was already taken. But you could also go to patrickmichaelmurphy.com, and that'll take you to the same place. And then you could read a little bit about the book. You could read a page of it, and hopefully in the future I'll have interesting extras. You know, but that's my website.
All right, fine.
And you can also email me if you want to talk to me.
All right, fine. Patrick's a fascinating person. He's a personal friend, and we always enjoy having him on. Well, Patrick was talking about this book, Holy Blood, Holy Grail, which was very popular about 20 years ago. And basically, the theme of this is that Jesus really was married to Mary Magdalene. He had children. He did not die in Jerusalem, as we've been told. In other words, Christianity is a lie. And, of course, books like this, they are intriguing. They pretend to tell you the secret that's been suppressed for many years. And, of course, it's done a great deal of harm. But this was what was picked up, of course, by Dan Brown, who hates Christianity, who writes, really, lie after lie. But this was the basic theme. This was the secret of the Priory of Zion that had been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. Of course, that isn't true either. The Priory of Zion hasn't really been around until about the 1960s when somebody made it up and planted a lot of evidence to convince people it was the truth. But you were going to talk then about the influence of this idea that challenges the very thesis of Christianity, and that is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin, that he was God come to make a sacrifice for, you know, that would allow men the hope of salvation. Pick up the story then, Patrick.
Right. This is exactly the thing. A few minutes ago, Dr. Stan, you were saying that the New Age movement has beguiled a generation or two generations. And when I discovered, and I said my roots were, my young adult roots were in the New Age movement. And when I discovered, once I became a Christian, and then I discovered Holy Boat, Holy Grail, and I started reading the books that came out of that whole theory, I realized something important. And this is very important. I think that everybody should be aware of that. The New Age movement is essentially empty. It's a void. It's like Buddhism. There's no real God at the end of the rainbow there. So what I think, now this is my theory and it might be, it's open for debate, but I believe that what is going on with Holy Book, Holy Grail and the Da Vinci Code is the desire of the New Age type thinker to reclaim something of Jesus, but never go into Christianity. I think it's the devil's cleverest deception, and it could be the great deception that characterizes the end time, that we will acknowledge Christ as a great teacher, but remove the power. And then what did Paul say about that? I mean, he wrote, he said, if there's no power thereof. So the idea of the Holy Boat, Holy Grail, and all the books that have come, and especially the Da Vinci Code, which has popularized it so broadly, the idea is you could believe in Jesus. You could say, oh yeah, he's an important historical figure, and you could even believe that his bloodline is continued into the future. In other words, that there's some royal blood. Now, if you think about the title of the book, Holy Blood, Holy Grail, holy blood? If he's not God, how could it be holy? They're having it both ways. They want, you see, that's the, I think, what I'm talking about, is in our culture today, the new civilization that I believe has been birthed in our time, the desire for holiness, for some anchor in the eternal realm, never has gone away. But we refuse to acknowledge Christ. So, Holy Blood, Holy Grail, that's the perfect title of this movement, I think. We want it to be holy, but we don't want the responsibility that goes with bending the knee to God. So, maybe the movie didn't do too terrific, but I don't think that matters. I think that this really appeals to the mind of our time. And we have to recognize that. This is my premise. We must recognize that. We must understand why people want to believe that stuff. Why do they want to believe that?
Because
why won't they bend the knee?
Because I think that, of course, man is selfish. Man wants to have it his way. And if he bends his knee to Christ, he acknowledges he can't do things on his own, that he's going to have to do things God's way, and he doesn't want to. He wants to do it my way. You remember that song? You know, it was, want to do it my way? Well, ordinarily that just leads to disaster.
Well, you know, you're right about that. But at the same time, Johnny Cash sang a song about a drunken sinner, you know, at the end of his life, just his drunken sinner's plea to, you know, he wants to go to heaven. And, I think that was always there in American, the background of our thought. We knew that we had to appeal to Christ at the very end. And, you know, when you watch those old movies, they say, well, I'll meet you in hell, you know, when they go out in a blaze of bullets. I don't think you could make a movie like that today, because they don't believe in it. Not like a choice. You choose heaven or hell anymore. So I agree with you, Dr. Stead, that we're morally corrupt at our very core, because if we're unsaved. But I also think that American history was full of people that knew, they knew that they had a choice to make. And I think that today they don't know they have a choice to make. And that's the premise of my book, is that we have to recognize that they don't know. They've never been told. They really haven't. The people that are growing up today don't know that they have that choice to make. Now, how do we get them to recognize it? Well, I say that it's a lot like it would have been in ancient Rome. How would you get a pagan Roman who goes and just perfunctorily does the ritualistic sacrifices, whatever it was they did in their temples? How would you get them to give their lives to Christ? I think that's what we have to do with our people around us today. We have to think of them in the same way as new Christians would have thought of pagan Romans. This is very harsh, I know. It's dramatic. But it's a different paradigm. We're facing it. I don't understand how we just blithely accept the outrageous murders and rapes and serial killings that go on all around us. I mean, every morning newspaper. We've accepted this crazy new reality without even noticing.
Well, it is a much easier question to accept it than to ask why and to try to do something about it. Not realizing, of course, that men and women become accomplices to the evils they don't fail to oppose. And certainly when you take any sense of morality out of a society, why should you be surprised when it becomes immoral? That is
right.
The problem. And if you're going to be immoral sexually, why not go ahead and cheat? Why not get to be, the president of Enron and go ahead and cheat people out of their savings, their life savings? What's wrong with that as long as you end up with the most goodies when when you're off going to heaven? Was that old idea, the idea is to accumulate just as much as you can because he who accumulates the most wins?
Right.
And, of course, this is the attitude of today. And who do we idolize? We idolize the Madonnas of this world and the Rosie O'Donnells and all of these things. These corrupt, evil, and wicked people. They're the heroes of modern-day society. The Michael Jacksons of this world. And, he is an idol. He's an icon for our young people. I mean, a man who, if he isn't a pedophile, will do until one comes along. I mean, it's an old saying, where in the world could a boy grow up as a little, a poor little black boy and end up as a disfigured little white boy? Well, anyway, go ahead.
At one time in my life, I'm from Chicago originally, and I was reading history books about it. And after the Chicago fire, there was a great movement to rebuild the city. America needed Chicago because of its location and it's strategic, and also because the people could feel that the future really needed the future development of America really needed Chicago. So the financiers were willing to rebuild the place, and all of the people who were doing it were very low key as they developed. And this is Chicago Fire was the last quarter of the 19th century, and all the way into the 20th century. As the Chicago was rebuilt and became a great center of commerce and industry, the wealthiest people, the industrialists, lived very low-key lives. And anyone who acted flamboyantly was looked upon as a fool, as a goof, as an idiot, because anybody with sense was using their money to make more money. They lived very calm, low-key lives, no flamboyance at all. I think this is, we could use that as a spiritual paradigm of how America was in the past spiritually. What you just said about Paris, you might not have mentioned Paris Hilton, but she fits right in with that whole cavalcade of buffoonish clowns that we idolize. I mean, these are like it's like stepping back into ancient Greece and having these gods and goddesses that we just adore, We have adoration for these fools, these buffoons. I think there was a time in America where we loved people like Jonathan Edwards. Just as in Chicago, these financiers would hold their cards close to the vest, they would plow their income back into future progress for money's sake. So this is totally crude, But at the same time, I think it's a great metaphor for how America used to be spiritually. No longer is America that way financially. We don't respect flamboyance in the financial world, and we respect flamboyance in the spiritual world. I mean, whether you call Michael Jackson the spirit, I do. I think this is the spirit realm that we now occupy. I don't think we love the truth anymore, and we respect people. If Jonathan Edwards were to be alive today, would he be able to steal the throne or the stage from Michael Jackson or Paris Hilton? I'm very cold-minded about that subject. I think we must face it head-on and use a different technique than we have in the past, because our kids and the people around us are not beneficiaries of the old way of looking at the world.
All right, fine. Well, I certainly agree that there's a very real problem. I believe that the answer to this certainly is a spiritual revival in our nation. I'm not sure that it's going to come, because I'm not sure that there are enough people out there who really care enough about it. They seem to want to enjoy life today, and they're really not concerned about the sort of heritage they're going to leave for their children and grandchildren. Well, I am, and that's why I do what I do, and I know that's what you're concerned about. And I think the major thing is to simply ask some questions. And if you can get people thinking, you can begin to break this control over their minds. In fact, I'm often remembering a story that D. James Kennedy told me one evening when we were together, the only time I ever met him, you know, about how he happened to become a Christian. And he had the radio turned to the wrong channel one evening, and suddenly this voice booms out, you know, and he doesn't even know where it's coming from. You know, if you were to die tomorrow, where would you spend eternity? And if you were to stand before the gates of heaven and ask why you should get in, what would you say? And, you know, it was that experience, just hearing those words over the radio. And, of course, the man who spoke them was a man named Barnhouse, one of the great evangelists of another era, that transformed his life. And he is, of course, has never been the same again. The story was he had awakened in the morning to hear that. And, you know, at his radio, he had ordinarily the radio woke him up, but he would already have rock music or some sort of a vulgar music on. And somebody had accidentally changed the channel. And just hearing those words of a minister transformed his whole life, and he's touched so many other lives since then.
Wow. That's wonderful.
So somehow or other, we have to, of course, try to reach people with the truth. And I believe that's the only thing we can do. And in the final analysis, it's really up to God, because we never convert anybody. God converts them, and God draws them close. But our job is, of course, to put the word out and hope it will touch their lives.
In my view, the biggest issue that we face now is not, you know, the politics of our, of, you know, imperial, you know, conquest or meddling with other nations or even the social welfare, you know, issues. The biggest issue is, can we as a nation and as communities overcome the evil that has developed, that has been sort of commissioned, been allowed to flourish, the natural base instincts that used to be difficult, really, I think, to allow to be. You could not flamboyantly do the things you can now.
All right, Paul, let's go to Mike, who's calling from Arizona. Mike's a physician. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, Stan. You know, one of the problems that you confront with trying to bring either Muslims or just general non-believers to Christ is, this bad doctrine that permeates so much of the church right now. Call it Christian Zionism, call it dispensationalism, whatever you want. But many of these people look at the state of Christianity these days with the so-called Christians supporting war and bloodshed in the Middle East, and they say, why in the world, you know, that doesn't look like anything that I want to believe in. And I think you've got to overcome that.
All right, let's get to Patrick. Patrick, what do you think about what Mike's saying?
That's full of issues. I mean, there's a lot of assumptions inside that question, but...
Don't you think there's a real problem with the Christianity that we see being voiced today by our political leaders, and even by some of our big church or mega church leaders?
Oh, no, I do. On the whole, I agree with the caller's comment.
And I think that sometimes, you know, when people profess to be Christians and then they don't act like a Christian and they support things that really are very unchristian. It tends to discredit all of us. And my fear is that what is taking place today is going to discredit Christianity for decades, perhaps for millennia to come. Well, anyway, you hang on there, Mike, and you hang on there, Patrick,
sure.
And we'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up today's program here at Radio Liberty. And the book, again, and we do carry it, is How the West Was Lost. It's available at Radio Liberty. Have you ever wondered why the incidence of cancer and diabetes and heart disease is increasing in the United States? Are you eating a lot of food that's loaded with sugars in them? Or are you certainly eating prepackaged meals that are loaded with MSG? Or are you drinking Diet Coke that's loaded with aspartame? What are you doing to protect your health? What are you doing to protect the health of your family? Well, most people really don't understand the importance of good nutrition, so I've compiled a list of the books on health, the tape sets, the videos, the vitamins and minerals and herbal products that Radio Liberty carries, and the doses of the products that we recommend. If you'd like to receive a free copy of the Radio Liberty Health Catalog, why don't you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And remember, proper nutrition is essential for good health.
Hey, Bill, I'm buying lunch today, and check this out. I bought a new car.
Wow, John, I guess you took my advice and visited that website we were talking about over lunch last time we met. www.didyourobbillgates.com.
I did, and you were right. I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. And it's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my fifth week.
Whoa, that's awesome. John, your business will keep growing as mine has. In fact, people are joining from all over the world. It's incredible. Everyone should go to www.didyourobbillgates.com and learn how this program can help them become financially independent, too.
Thanks a million, Bill, for telling me about www.didyourobbillgates.com.
Check, please.
I got this one, Bill.
Sure, John. Let's tell everyone about www.didyourobbillgates.com.
Deal.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jog. Few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well thought out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest, of course, is Patrick Murphy. His book, How the West Was Lost, available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we want to remind all of our listeners we're having our annual Radio Liberty Seminar on the 29th of October, and we hope you can come. Now, it's a Sunday. We're going to be at the Aptos Seascape, a golf course. We're going to have Constance Cumby, Chris Pitto, who produced the award-winning DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings and a great all-star lineup. So you're going to have to call in and make your reservations. Give us a call of 1-800-544-8927 if you're going to be coming from outside the area. Why, we'll make sure that there are rooms available. We'll try to get a special rate of one of the local hotels, but they'll only hold those rooms for so long. So, again, that's seven, 8 weeks from now. That's the Aptos Seascape Golf Course meeting room on the 29th of October. I do want to mention, of course, there's a USFO conference over in Santa Clara at the Higher Regency tomorrow. We will be going to that. We're having a table there. Why do we bother to go to something like that when there's so many people there that don't even believe in the Lord? Why, very simply because we need some people there who do believe in the Lord and point out that the UFO phenomenon is simply an example of the other dimension, and there is another dimension, and it is that spiritual battle that's taking place in the other dimension that is being manifested with the stories of alien abductions and UFOs and crop circles and so many of the statues that weep and all of these supernatural things that are going on. Some of them are frauds, but some of them are very real because there really is another dimension. And then, of course, I want to remind you, we are now carrying emergency food if you have not made your preparations for what I believe are the very difficult times that lie ahead. I would like to get a catalog, and, of course, things will be shipped to you directly from the factory there in Southern California, the things you would need to look after yourself and your family. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Ask for the food catalog. If you would like, of course, to learn what sort of things Barbara and I take, and as you know, I'm 77 in pretty good health, I worry, of course, not only the vitamins and minerals, but many of the other things, like the coenzyme Q10 and the alpha lipoic acid and so many of the things that are available. Anyway, we've actually keep them in stock here, and if you'd like to get them, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get our health catalog that has the books we think are so vitally important, on the miracle of magnesium, on the health and nutrition sequence that can save your life, on the danger of the statin drugs, on the danger of water fluoridation, of the danger of the mercury in vaccines. We have books on all of this. We have a catalog with all of our health books listed, and give us a call, and we'll be glad to send you a health catalog. And then, of course, we hope that you have read our book, Radio Liberty, which is available from Radio Liberty. The book is Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get the book or the DVD or the VHS. We carry a great book. It's written by one of my favorite authors who's no longer with us, Father Malachi Martin, the book Hostage to the Devil. But I promise you, you'll never look at the world quite through the same eyes after you've read this book and begin to realize the reality of what he's talking about, and realize that these supernatural forces are at work within our society. The book, Hostage to the Devil, and you can get it by itself, or with the four-tape set of my interviews with Father Martin called The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. We have a set of pamphlets which we recommend very strongly. They're called The Occult Hierarchy, and they will take you into the other dimension and how it applies to what's going on today. And this spiritual battle that is being engaged in today for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, the pamphlets, The Occult Hierarchy. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please remember to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
September 11th, 2001 changed the world, and the world is now realizing that the official story of that infamous day just doesn't make sense. The overwhelming majority of Americans believe that there is a government cover-up, according to a CNN poll. 9/11 in plain sight, the director's cut, is a compilation of unaltered news footage and photos from major networks and publications that raises questions that officials dare not ask, let alone answer. The worldwide firestorm of questions raised has forced some into a position of desperation damage control to keep this documentary from being seen or accepted by the masses. Why have these efforts been made to keep you from seeing this documentary?
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
with news. On the Information Radio Network, I'm Laura Lee Scholl. The White House says President Bush will have completed a somber round of visits to 9/11 terror sites Monday when he makes a primetime speech from the Oval Office. White House Press Secretary Tony Snow says the president wants to talk about how Americans are moving ahead in light of the lessons of September 11th. He says Bush's Oval Office speech will look back on 9/11 and what the nation's been through since.
This is not a political speech. There are not going to be any calls to action for Congress. It will be a reflection of what September 11th has meant to the president and to the country. The realities that it has brought to all of our attention.
He says the president will be both reflective and optimistic.
The proper combination of sobriety, but also optimism, because the way Americans responded after September 11th was nothing short of sensational, and it's something that could only have happened in this country.
You're listening to the Information Radio Network.
Tara was just 17 when she was locked in a room and beaten nearly to death by her own father. Her crime? She was reading the Bible. Hi, this is Chuck Bates. As the days go by, we read more and more about Islam. Some say it's a peaceful religion, while others say Christians and Muslims serve the same God. But Christians living in Islamic nations know better. Many have been beaten or imprisoned, and some have even been killed for converting to Christianity. You may not hear about Christian persecution on your local news, but you can stay informed. You can know what's really happening to our brothers and sisters in countries like Pakistan, Iran, Indonesia, and even Iraq. Simply call the Voice of the Martyr.